Black, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I want to tell you that we are positively into the Thanksgiving season. We've talked a little bit about taking care of other folks out there and hunger relief and Giving Tuesday with our friends at Wise Markets. But I also want to say this. It's crab cake season for us as well. I'm grinding into the 30th anniversary and putting a bunch of shows together in December all over town. We're going to start things off on Black Friday up in Harford County with the Harford County Executive, Barry Glassman. He's running for controller. He's going to be joining us at Conrad's Crabs on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We're also going to be at Pappas's on December 3rd. That's Friday afternoon. My dear friend Leonard Raskin is so excited that I'll be enjoying the Pappas Crab Cake. So we are moving around and doing it. At some point, this guy is going to join me somewhere along the Maryland highways and byways for a Maryland Crab Cake. He is the director of the Maryland Lottery and Gaming. We will swark it up. We'll casino it up. We're going to football it up. We welcome John Martin back onto the program. How are you, man? Are you getting ready for the tastiest of all holidays, I would say. We all love Halloween a couple of weeks ago, but Thanksgiving's pretty good.
Absolutely. I am looking forward to it. And you know, I have to ask because I'm not, as you know, from the area. So I don't know what makes a good crab cake. There's got to be like three or four check marks, right? I mean, what makes a good crab cake?
See, I keep getting these questions, and I think a little bit of its palate and where you are. So, example, I was at Nick's Grandstand Grill in Timonium. I was with a lifer friend. Tommy Chigoris had the original Cross Street Fish Market. Then we talked about the controversy of sushi in the 90s, where I'm sure you weren't eating sushi in Ohio in 1985 either. We weren't eating in Baltimore. And then we talked about the move to Nick's Fish House, and now he's out. So we're out there and we're talking about crab cakes. And he said, I didn't have crab cake first 30 years. We just sold crab meat and we sold raw fish and we were market. He said, so my dad didn't have a recipe. And he said, I had to figure it out. He said, I wanted a Baltimore recipe. And I said, to me, a Baltimore crab cake means Old Bay, Chesapeake Bay seasoning, J.O. spice, whatever that is, that spice being a part of your crab cake. I did not get that on the Eastern Shore. On the Eastern Shore, it's sweeter, it's butterier, it's, yes, they don't overdo the Old Bay. I would call a Baltimore, and I would call this an East Baltimore crab cake, and this goes for my friends at Costas, very different than the Fadley's crab cake. The Fadley's crab cake, very mustardy, different kind of flavor to it than what you'll get. They're different. So that's okay. The beauty. I'm glad you asked, but don't ask me best. You're not allowed to ask me best.
No, because everyone has the best.
That'd be like me saying, what's the best game that you offer at the Maryland Lottery, right? You'd say, this week it's Powerball because it's more money than Mega Millions. Or am I wrong about that? That's right?
Sure. No, you're right. You're right. It varies week to week, but I'll tell you what's a standard. The best is when our players win. And we have a lot of second chance winners of our Ravens ticket that I'd love to share with you and your audience.
Well, we've been talking about that and playing the commercials, and we've seen them throwing the football on the field. And we talked about the fella that and his family that went to Detroit for the Justin Tucker game. So there's lots of ways to win, and this is the time of year where you're like, oh, people have been playing the last 8 weeks and scratching. Now we're getting real winners, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, certainly when a player buys a ticket, they're hoping for a big cash prize. But even if they don't win a cash prize, every ticket has value, and they should enter it into our second chance contest, because every month we draw prizes, lucky winners for various prizes. So just this week, Linda Walker Knight from Randallstown, Maryland, was one of our six finalists that we'll announce at the end of the season, the lucky winner for the 20 years of Ravens tickets.
So there's six people that win. One of them gets 20 years of Ravens tickets.
Right. And each month we pick another finalist, if you
will. And that's not a cash prize. That's a second chance prize, right?
Well, she wins a little bit of cash, too, for her.
Oh,
effort.
Okay. So, oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. What happens to the other five people? Do they get their feelings hurt? I'm just wondering.
I believe we have some lovely parting gifts.
Have they already won? All these people already won a prize?
Yes. These six people that will – and we typically do this, Nestor, right after Super Bowl Sunday. So it's that following week, weather permitting. We'd love to do it outside when we can.
Which is going to be March soon.
Right. But through the season, we select six finalists, and we'll bring them all in. In years past, we brought them to M&T Stadium, actually, and done it there live. COVID was a little different last year. But they all win a cash prize for just being selected. But then each month we also have additional prizes, like Gloria Fisher won $10,000 in cash. She's from Northwood, Maryland. Dave Zalkus and Kristen Goswellen won 2022 season tickets. So they're penciling in their calendar for next year every game at M&T Bank Stadium.
Now you're making me like Google who we play next year now. When I did the road trips on an annual basis, knowing the schedule way ahead of time,
sure,
like knowing where we're going to go. So I'll let you know where that winner will be next year for sure.
No, that's great. And then you alluded to it before, the pass for cash game day experience. Alan Johnson from Gambrels won that prize. He'll be participating on January 2nd. And here's the kicker. Wait for it, Nestor. Patrick Mayfield of Middle River. I hope he wears his Cleveland Browns Mayfield jersey. Something tells me he won't.
Middle River's my side of town. They're Ravens fans.
Yeah. But I love that. Patrick Mayfield from Middle River will be joining the festivities on December 19th.
So he's having a better month than Baker Mayfield is what you're telling me.
Boy, I tell you what, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like that.
That was good. I did tee it up for you.
Walked right into that one. By the way, next year the Bills play here, the Dolphins play here, the Falcons play here, the Panthers play here, and whomever we match with in the AFC West, which we're going to be in first place. I guess that's probably going to be Kansas City, so that'd be a pretty good ticket. And then the road trips next year, just for my sports fans out there, we play at New England. We play at New Orleans. That'll be a big one for the road trip next year because I know you give road trips out too. The Jets, well, we'll drive up there. Joe Flacco will still be there. Tampa Bay, Tom Brady will still be there. We play at Tampa. And then we play at AFC South. That'll probably be Nashville. And then we play at NFC East to be determined. That could be anybody. That could be the Washington football team, or that could be the Dallas football team. So, I don't know. That's an interesting road trip. John Martin is here. He's from the Maryland Lottery. We got to open last week on casino and all that. I just want to say, I get your emails every week from Seth. There was a big Royal Farms winner. I'm wearing my Chicken Palooza. $50,000 cash bonus prize sold at the Fleet Street Rofo. I know where that is. I get my chicken over there when I walk east.
See that? Yeah, get a lottery ticket next time you're there.
Cookies and cash. We also had a $10,000 winner in Essex on Marlin Avenue. So, yeah, I'm giving a little love to my Royal Farms people. So, have at that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And people can visit mdlottery.com to read about these winner stories. It's fun. We're in the business of giving away money. And I tell you, another thing we're in the business of is fun and exciting and different games. We have a new $20 scratch-off game that just launched this week. It's called Win 100, 200, or $500. And why that's unique is because normally when we have a scratch-off ticket, you know what the top prize is. It's advertised right there on the ticket. And you know that the lowest prize is typically going to be the face value of the ticket. And there may be six or seven prizes in between that are stepped between the two.
Never throw it out because you have a second chance. I just want to put that in.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of people
that.
Okay,
that's right. But the value proposition here is it's buried in the title, not buried so much that you can't find it. You win either $100, $200. I'm sorry. What is it? Yes, I'm confused myself. I'm so excited. You win $100, $200, or $500. There's only three prizes you can win for a $20 ticket.
Okay.
So people really enjoy this ticket. We've done it a few years now with a $10 ticket where it's win 50 or 100, and it quickly became our most popular $10 ticket. So we thought, let's kick it up a notch. Let's take it to $20. And see if we have an appetite at $100, $200, or $500 winners. So that's in retail this week, doing very well. And your players should look at that. It'd be a nice holiday. Take it to your Thanksgiving host, he or she. It'll be a nice little host present.
Well, buy a lot of turkey is what I would say here. We're letting ourselves play our Maryland Lottery segment. Of course, we're getting out. We're having crab cakes. We're going to be uptown, downtown, doing Thanksgiving stuff here. Football is a part of Thanksgiving, right? I mean, this is one thing we're going to do. We're all going to sit around. What, by the way, what's your tradition? Are you like a pumpkin? Or are you sweet potato, apple pie? You got to have a pie.
Yeah, no, we are kind of traditional. The Martin family is a long generation of eaters. Let me just put that on the record. We enjoy when we start getting ready for this like now. So we will come to the table hungry on Thanksgiving.
I'm all about the sides. You know what I mean? What's on your side? So what do you see? I'm East Baltimore, so we do sauerkraut and kielbasa, right? But I'm much mashed potato. My wife makes the best cranberries. She has this cranberry recipe that she does with fresh cranberries because my mom. And I've told this story for 30 years. My mom would get the can. I mean, no offense. Yeah, my friends at Y sell it. But, you know, you get the pop out of the can and with this sort of wiggle on the, you know, on the plate. Right. Yeah, my wife, man, she makes cranberries like with nuts and a celebration and squeezing oranges and boiling up like sugar and concocting them. It's like a Willy Wonka, like that experiment room. You know, there's steam coming off it.
Yep.
And then she cools it. And I'll tell you what, a week later when you have the leftover, and you want cranberry spread for a sandwich, I'm very, very appreciative. So I didn't have that till I got married because she introduced me to – my mom had the jelly stuff. So my wife, we go out a little bit. What's on your – are you carrots, broccoli? What do you do?
Yeah, we're kind of traditional, like I said. But the cranberry story, that's great because it must be a wife thing. My wife experimented 1 year with doing something like that. Her brother refused to eat it. He wanted the plop out of the can
cranberry. No.
So,
No.
He's not invited anymore. We don't even tell him where it is.
Well, I mean, I've upscaled Thanksgiving. I mean, I've taken a bet. My wife's Polish, a Polish family, they do a big thing at Christmas that's, you know, pierogies and, you know, that type of food. So Thanksgiving's very traditional, and I've brought my sort of traditions from my family, and we both love mashed potatoes and gravy, and my wife is really into making this stuffing that she makes with apples, and like, so we go all, and we watch a lot of Food Network, you know. We're watching Valerie Bertinelli or Ina Garten, you know, and we'll say, hey, that broccoli au gratin, that looks like a really good recipe. Let's add that. So this is the official year, and I've told my friends at Wise Markets this. This is the year where we're breaking all the rules. I'm not doing the green bean casserole. We're not going to do the white shoe peg corn. We're going to go – I'm doing new things. We're going to do carrots. We're going to do Brussels sprouts just to do something different. So the best of the old and new for us.
Yeah. I mean, stuffing, green bean casserole. Again, those are the traditional things. I have to I'll tell you a quick story, not necessarily Thanksgiving related. My wife is Irish as part of her heritage. And the first time I went to eat at their family meal, it was not necessarily a holiday. It was just a Sunday afternoon. They had potatoes and cheesy potatoes and mashed potatoes. And I looked around the table and said, Is there any meat here? Any protein? I mean, what, you know, so they come from a very earth-based potato environment. But no.
So when I was a little boy, my parents took me to the Bluebell restaurant, which anybody would know, Bel Air Road North, right at the Falston line. It used to sit there, right where the carpet store was that Mr. Bill had for years, and. When I was a little boy, it was the place we went when I had first communion, when my grandmother passed away. Like, it was the place we went. And I would probably ate there a dozen times, but it were all before I was 8 years old, so they made an impact, you know? It hasn't been there in 40 years. There's old-timers be like, oh, my God, Kingsville, the Bluebell, absolutely, right? So I think it became a tavern for years after that. But I went in as a little boy, and, you know, I have big menu, and they said to me, what will you be having with your crab cake, little Nestor? And I said, I want French fries and a mashed potato. And I got laughed at when I was like 5 years old. I didn't realize they were both potatoes until that point. So I grew up in my formative years with a lot of potatoes and a lot of white bread on the table. Trust me.
Yeah. Well, you might be related to my wife's family then.
My family was Irish. My family that raised me in McGurgans, MC. MCGUR, capital G. So John Martin is here. He's with the Maryland Lottery. We joke and kid and play games and scratch off tickets and win and second chance and never throw a ticket away. But primarily what we do is we take the complaints from the people that can't gamble at a casino right now. And I know you're taking on the friendly friendly fire of all this over the last 6 months and being involved, the Maryland lottery and gaming part of what we're doing. Update us on Swark as we get in on the holidays, and I take a second scoop. By the way, a little tip for you. Wise pumpkin ice cream. Get it. Hurry. It'll go away. Really creamy. So I'll have a second scoop of that, but give me a scoop of this time next year, Thanksgiving, after dinner, before dinner, we can sneak down and have a little piece of Vegas all over the state. I mean, people that have experienced this, this is really coming, and it's coming fast, and this will be the last Thanksgiving without it, I promise.
Well, yeah, and I'll echo that, and you... What should happen, though, and I'll give you the analogy, you know, it's almost like being in Vatican City when they're about to elect a new pope, and people look to the skies to see what color is the papal smoke, and have they, in fact, elected a president or a pope. So we're scanning the horizon now, looking for Swark smoke to see how the winds are going to blow. And we're optimistic that Swark will move on the five initial locations, which are five of the six casinos, to get us off the dime here and moving forward. And if that's true, if they in fact can award the licenses very soon here, we will still have a chance to get sports wagering in five locations, or up to as many as five locations, before the end of the calendar year. Now, that is maybe still a long shot at this point, but I'm holding on to it.
Oh, that's a 40 days? 40? Yeah. Okay. All right.
It would be, now we may not get all five of them ready, but we should have all five of them up and running before the Super Bowl, before the NFL playoffs. So that's all predicated on getting a positive smoke out of the Swark, hopefully as soon as this week.
All right, so John, this is where I play bad guy, and I we opened Colgate Elementary last week, so my old neighborhood. I have a couple of Colgate friends that I grew up with that are still involved in my life in Facebook, and every time said subject comes up, Chuck Kilgore and Tom Dunah, I start screaming at me, you, Larry Hogan, the gambling gods, Las Vegas, yep, Steve Bisciotti. They blame anybody, right? What is the holdup now? And let me guess and just say I think it's probably really examining what's going on behind closed doors with the MGMs, the people involved, the licensees, that making sure that when you actually open the gates, we have a fair game.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I understand frustration from players and from people who want to participate in it as a retailer, as a provider. But I also understand the due diligence and caution. You don't get a second chance to start this. So while I'm as frustrated as many people are, I have to give Swark the latitude to do what they feel is correct and how they're interpreting the law, to do all the due diligence and dot all the I's and cross all the T's. So when they do start, because this is going to be a long process. I mean, we're so focused on the front end of this. We're just talking about retail brick and mortar locations. There still to come is a whole world of mobile wagering on your phone that still has to be regulated and agreed upon and put in place that could take us easily to Thanksgiving of next year. So, I mean, there's a long process that's going to follow this. So if we have to wait another week or two to get something done right for the next year or two, then I think that's where Swark clearly is at. And my hope is that they're closing that gap, they're narrowing that gap, and that they've found enough information to give them the confidence to initiate the awarding process very, very soon.
Yeah, I was at a Knicks last week in Timonium, and they're saying that's the space where there's going to be a lounge and you'll be able to come out. And I'm like, and I'm envisioning it. I've driven past there since I was a little boy. My family lived up on Pedonia Road above the Flaming Pit. Patience is what I'm saying. We're trying to fix the city. And you know what I'm going to be doing in the meantime? I'm going to be eating crab cakes. I'm going to be eating turkey and all of the aforementioned goodies. I am in search of mincemeat pie. Anybody can find me some mincemeat pie now that the Valley Bakery closed. Legitimate mincemeat pie. But I did have a chat. I had Dennis Curtin on from Wise Markets, and I gave him kudos because I saw fruitcake in there. I looked at it, and it looked like, if I had never eaten fruitcake and knew what was in fruitcake, I might try it because it didn't look like it was made back in May and come in a box in a wrapper. It was like fresh. And I'm like, Nah, I'm just going to stick with the eggnog and the pumpkin pie and the peppermint bark and the thing. Some of the things I want to stay traditional. Some things I just can't get back into the lane of fruitcake right now. I mean, some of these holiday things, fruitcake and what's that other thing? Juniper. It smells like cat excrement. I can't do juniper, and I there's things I don't do during the holiday.
Boy, you are really going way down the menu tree here. You know, I've
I'm not grinchy. I love the holidays.
I've sampled fruitcake and in small doses with a lot of something to wash it down with. It's not bad. I've never tried mincemeat though.
Mincemeat pie. Oh, yeah. Mincemeat pie. Very very fruity, raisiny. Cinnamon, nutmeg, nut, not like a pecan where it's sweet, you know, mincemeat is semi-sweet, like a raisin would be, you know, like it's almost pruney. I'd have to look up the recipe, but my mom was old and from the South. So, you know, she ate things that like they called it mincemeat. It sounds like it's got an animal in it. It doesn't have any possum or anything like that. Right. It's just an expression, I think. So, but I'm all for all this. I hope you're having your eggnog. I hope you get some pumpkin pie. I'm going to move for some sort of Gucci apple pie, some French apple with raisins. I want some new pie, this year.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I don't think you and I are ever going to be candidates for our own Food Network show. I think we're just kind of right off.
No. I'm foodie. Trust me.
All right.
Yeah, all right. I mean, that's – I'll take pictures on Thanksgiving. I'll send them to you, John. Hey, I'll see you next week. Let yourself play and hang in there. We'll be out having a crab – you're going to come have a crab cake one day, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have to look at your schedule, my schedule, and we'll get together.
All right.
Absolutely.
Well, the 30th anniversary kicks off on the 9th of December. We're going to be at the Beaumont over in Catonsville. We're going to be having a crab cake over there and hopefully a chop as well. Maybe a little of that pork mustard, pork chop he does there. It's very, very nice. We're also going to be at Pappas on the 3rd of December up in Cockeysville and on Black Friday with Harford County Executive Barry Glassman. We're looking forward to that, getting back up at Conrad's. So Conrad's, Pappas, the Beaumont, and coming to Costas and some other places as well. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop letting ourselves play and talking Baltimore positive.